out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. And I've got a different way to start this day, and that is to say, happy birthday. Got a couple of birthdays in the family this weekend, and so it starts off today, and we're excited about that. And I want to wish number one son happy birthday today. Pray that you have a great day and get to enjoy some time with your family, some downtime. And we look forward to celebrating this weekend. So another birthday, number one daughter having a birthday this weekend as well. And so she's away celebrating with one of her friends up in St. Augustine area, I believe, for the next couple of days. And she'll be back for church this Sunday. So lots and lots of celebrating going on. I do want to let you know that after 3.5 years, I finally lost my vacation weight from 3.5 years ago. Before I went on vacation, I remember what I always weigh right before I go on vacation. And it was a 2-week vacation. We were going 1 week to my parents, 1 week to my wife's mother's house, gained some weight both places, came back, and 2 weeks later, my grandmother passed away. And went back to Oklahoma again for another week. And even though I'd lost some weight, I'd been struggling to lose that weight, finally achieved that. And this time of year is really tough to maintain that. So I'm really striving for some success in that. So if you want to pray with me, pray that I continue the scale down version of myself as we continue to work on that area of our lives. Amen. And also, I want to let you know about Jith Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need block or concrete work done, you want to get that right. You know, it doesn't matter how pretty the light fixture is or the beautiful color you paint your walls. If the block that is the foundation for that or the slab that is the foundation for your house, if those things are not done correctly, it's only a matter of time before it manifests itself that you've got a problem. And so I encourage you to call Jith Concrete, 321-536-5804. If you've got a construction project going on in the near future, give them a call. The rain is interfering with their schedule a little bit these days. They are very diligent. They start early. They get as much work done as they can. So if you've got a project coming up, you want to get in line, call them up and have them lined up to do your job at the time frame that you need it. So I also want to say congratulations to my baby girl on her recent promotion at work. And so congratulations to her. So lots of good things going on all around. All three of my children are now in management level positions in their respective companies, and I am one proud dad. In fact, I was at general counsel, and a lady that my daughter went on a missions trip with happened to be looking for a seat, and they stepped over. And I knew her husband. I did not know her. I knew what she looked like. So I recognized her, knew how much my middle daughter appreciates this woman. And so I introduced myself as her father. And when I did that, she said, "Oh, you make wonderful human beings." And I was like, "Well, thank you. We like to think so." And I said, "My daughter just loves you." She said, "We love her." And we're still praying that, God leads Robin Well, now you know my daughter's middle daughter's name, Robin, each and every day of her life. And so lots of good things going on with my kids. And when you get to introduce yourself as your kid's dad, that's always a great thing. That means that you're not ashamed of them at all. And so there's one other thing, and this is not such a good thing, but my Bible that I've had ever since I started the Refresh Radio program has officially fought its last fight. The cover, even though I have worked to milk as much life out of it as I can, it finally said, you know what, it is time to break out a new Bible. So I've got a study Bible with me today. Don't panic, though. My wife bought me one for Christmas last year that was exactly like the Bible that I've had for a number of years. And so I just really am going to have to break it in, get the pages all nice and fluid. But those are some things that are taking place, some good things and some transition. And so we will do the best we can at finding the references as quickly as we can. So we are talking about the commandment that God delivers to us to keep us from evil. And specifically right now, we are talking about thou shalt not lie, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. And we're talking about some of the different applications that come about as a result of lying. So right now we're just kind of looking at some of the biblical cases where people lied to one another and the damage that was done to those relationships. Listen, God's commandments are there for a reason. He just didn't look up and arbitrarily say, you know what, I'm going to make this a commandment. And you're not going to violate this commandment. And it's just because I said there's no other reason. I am of the firm persuasion that if God tells you to do something, there's good reason. If he tells you not to do something, there's good reason. And it's in our best interest to listen to the expert on relationships. Aren't you glad that God doesn't lie? I am. I'm very thankful that he doesn't lie. I don't like being lied to. Every time someone lies to me, I think that they are looking at me as if I've got a great big old L on my head, that they don't think that I deserve to be told the truth. And it demeans our relationship. And so I'm very thankful that God values our relationship enough to tell us the truth. So today we're going to look at three different instances where people were negotiating. We've been talking about Jacob for the past couple of days. And so I want to take you to Genesis chapter 34. Genesis 34 and verse number 25. Genesis 34, 25. And it says this: Now it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, their oxen, and their donkeys, what was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth, all their little ones and their wives, and they took captive and they plundered even all that was in their houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, You have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me, and I shall be destroyed, my household and I. But they said, Should he treat our sister like a harlot? So to set the stage for you here, Jacob had a daughter and her name was Dinah. There was a man from the region that they were living in who, was romantically interested in her and committed immorality with her and went and wanted to make her his wife. And there was a negotiation that took place and they, what Jacob's son said was the only way that this is going to happen is if all of the men are circumcised, and that was part of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And I will tell you this, just because you take the external steps and you don't have the internal desire for a covenant relationship, the external does not make the internal work. The internal makes the external work. Okay? The internal is the reason that the sign of the covenant was there. The covenant was not the surgical step that they took. The covenant is what was of utmost importance. And so Hamor and Shechem go back to the men and they said, look, won't everything that they have become ours? And so they were negotiating from a deceptive tactic, and that was they were looking to assimilate all of their goods, all of their belongings into their culture, and they were going to be enriched by that. Well, the sons of Jacob were also negotiating deceptively, because with this particular surgical technique, 3 days after you have surgery, there is a great deal of pain involved in that. And they knew that at that point in time, all of the men would be incapacitated. They would not be able to fight. If they were able to fight, they would not be able to fight efficiently, and they would be victorious. And so there was deception going on both cases, but Jacob's sons, especially Simeon and Levi, were negotiating out of deception to bring about destruction. And that is never a good thing. You and I, we'll talk about this a little bit more, because there's numerous times where people negotiate out of bad faith. They negotiate with deception rather than truth. A good negotiation is where both sides come out winning, not where both sides come out losing. If there's one winner and one loser, both sides have lost. You and I, we need to be negotiating from truth, because we are to be benefiting one another, not just benefiting ourselves. And so Simeon and Levi go into the city, and they put to the sword everybody in the city. They plunder the city, they destroy it, and Jacob, the one who started off the deceiver, who ended up being deceived by Laban, whose wife Rachel ended up being a deceiver, and then he's going and he's encountering Esau, whom he had deceived, and he's caught in this mess. Now it's become a generational issue where even his kids are operating from the same paradigm that he operated. So it's where it was Rebecca, then it was Jacob, and now it's on to Jacob's kids. And I tell you, you want that chain, you want that decay to stop. Sooner or later, somebody's got to start telling the truth. And at least Jacob's sons were dealing from a position where they weren't appreciating the way that the daughter had been treated, and rightly so. Jacob should have really, really been handling that process. That was not acceptable behavior on Shechem's part. It's certainly not behavior to be rewarded. It is something to be corrected, disciplined, dealt with. And Jacob didn't do that. By the way, I will say this. And that is, if there is correction to be handed out and we fail to deal with it, either as the authority in the home or the authority at work or the authority in government, if we don't deal with that, we make the matter worse, because somebody's going to rise up as a vigilante and they're going to take that responsibility for themselves. That happened with Amnon and Tamar, I believe it was, that was Absalom's sister, and then Absalom took matters into his own hands. You and I, we don't want to be taking justice into our own hands, but we also need to be making sure that we are dealing. Eli didn't discipline his own sons. God stepped in and disciplined them because they were not behaving the way that they were supposed to be behaving. We can't afford to be negligent in those areas of responsibility. it's just not something that's supposed to take place. Jacob is now freaked out because he thinks everybody's going to unite and gather against me. They're going to destroy me. They're going to destroy my household and everything in it. And he forgets that he is the bearer of the covenant. And so you and I, we need to make sure that we break the chain. If you come from a long line of liars, break the chain. Break the chain. Be people of their word. Be people of the truth. Start a new dynamic for your family. That's the great thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every issue goes, you can always start a new godly tradition because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's negotiation number one. Negotiation number two that we're going to talk about today is in Exodus. And we're going to be talking about chapter 8 today. And you can guess that there was, this is when the plagues were being poured out on Egypt. In chapter 7, there's Aaron's miraculous rod, and Pharaoh's magicians were able to duplicate that. There was the first plague, the waters become blood, and his magicians were able to duplicate that. Then there were dogs, then there was the lice. And we come down to verse number 20, and we are now in to plague number 4, the plague of the flies. And it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me, or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be." And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into the servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us." So Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me." Verse number 29. Then Moses said, "Indeed, I am from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of the flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. Last verse of chapter 8. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Moses said, just don't negotiate deceitfully anymore and not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Pharaoh had a well-deserved track record of wanting his problem taken away and not having to live up to his word. And Moses comes to him on this fourth plague and said, let's not negotiate from a deceitful perspective. Let's be reasonable here and say, okay, if God takes away this plague, then I will let you go and worship the Lord your God. You see, Pharaoh thought he was a god. But in a comparison of God's Pharaoh versus God, there's not much comparison there. But as soon as the problem was over, Pharaoh retracted on his promise And he said, I'm not going to live up to my end of the bargain. Do you know that there are companies that I have dealt with in the past that I actually severed ties with? At the church, we don't deal with those companies anymore. And when they asked me why, I said, it is because all of the times that I have dealt with you, your salespeople have promised X, Y, and Z, and you've delivered none of it. I said, it appears that there is a culture of corruption in your company, and they didn't like that. But I dealt the way that I had resorted to dealing with them in at the very end of our relationship was, unless I was dealing with someone face to face with paper right in front of me and they showed me the numbers, that was the only way that I was going to deal with them. I've had salespeople that called and they tried to get me to do business with them, pretending like we'd known each other all along, until I started asking questions and said, oh yeah, we've actually never met. You know, you cannot have a long-lasting relationship that is not built on trust. If your earthly relationship, if your marital relationship is built on a lie, on deception, it's never going to last. If a business is built on deception, it's never going to last. If a church was built on deception, it's not going to endure. If a country has a history of deception, it is not going to be able to be sustained. We cannot negotiate from a deceitful premise. And Moses already knew what Pharaoh was going to do, and he said, don't do it. Don't do it. Let us go. Let us worship. We won't go very far, just 3 days' journey into the land or into the wilderness. And Pharaoh retracted anyway. There's one last passage that I want to talk about today, and that is in the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 9, and this is going to be a little bit different from the other two, where we're looking at people who are negotiating from, you know, in the first one, both parties were negotiating from a deceptive standpoint. And Exodus, we see where Moses was negotiating in an upright manner, but Pharaoh wasn't. Now we're going to go into Joshua chapter 9. This is the treaty with the Gibeonites. Some of my Bibles have the headline as this, the Gibeonite deception. And it says in verse number 3, Joshua chapter 9, but when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors, and they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins, torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy, and they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you will dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? So they said to him, from a very far country your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Therefore our elders and all the inhabitants of the country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey, and go and to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants. Now therefore make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took hot for our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it is dry and moldy, and these wineskins which were filled were new, and see, they are torn. These our garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. Later on, they get to find out that they were neighbors nearby. And so Joshua says to them in verse number 22, then Joshua called for them and he spoke to them saying, why have you deceived us, saying we are very far from you when you dwell near us? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters, water carriers for the house of my God. What I want to point out to you is this. Before you are negotiating or enter into an agreement, make sure you pray about it. Find out what God has to say. Do you think God was fooled by their disguises? Do you think God was fooled by the staged props that they brought with them, with the sandals and the moldy bread and all that? Of course not. God knew exactly who they were, where they had come from, and he knew that they were negotiating out of a position that they did not want to be destroyed. They were content to be servants in Israel rather than to be annihilated. I will tell you this, praying about every contract is very, very important. There were actually some people, as far as web applications and things like that, that put in the contract, you know, those things that you just scroll down there and say, yes, I accept. And if you reject it, they go. Some people actually read some of those at one point in time, and somebody had put in there, in one of them, that they were negotiating their eternal soul. And it was like, I don't think that that's going to hold any merit. But I will tell you this, even though the Gibeonites negotiated from a point of deception, the children of Israel were responsible because they did not pray. And later on, when King Saul sought to destroy the Gibeonites, God said, that's not going to fly. David had to clean up Saul's mess because of the way that he had treated people that God had entered into covenant. You see, God is a covenant-keeping God. God is a God of his word. And when he enters into an agreement to wipe away your sins, he means he's going to wipe away your sins. When he says he's going to be the Lord of your life, he's going to be the Lord of your life. When he says he's going to be your provider, he will be your provider. God keeps his word. Let's be people who keep our word with him. It will work out well with us in the end. Let's pray about things, okay? We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
My spirit is long, my heart is weak. I need you, Jesus, your presence I seek. Oh Lord, more of you. This one thing I'm asking, this treasure I seek, that I may behold you and worship at your feet. Oh.